Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Bum 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 bum.
Remember Mr. Sandman? Gosh, I was a little boy when that thing came out. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is the first full day of spring, Friday, March the 22nd, and we have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. We are going to talk to him about what is being called the Environmental Protection Agency's tailpipe rule. Tailpipe rule. It's a law, he says, that would restrict buying gas-powered vehicles. Wow. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump, who is appealing the $464 billion civil fraud judgment, now says he has the cash to post his bond. He announced it this morning on his Truth Social. We're going to be talking about Truth Social also a little bit later in the show. But he's got the money, he says, through hard work, talent, and luck. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Also, a federal judge is dismissing an attempt to stop Washington, D.C. from allowing non-citizens, including illegals, to vote in their local elections. What is going on here? How's that going to work out? We'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, top 10 happiest cities. The happiest cities, yes. We'll find out if you happen to live in one of them. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, by the way. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And if you need any kind of work done with trees, whether it's at your business or at your home, ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for anything you need, whether it's removal of trees, stump grinding, tree enhancement, you name it. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So I guess this just came in. Donald Trump says that he's got nearly $500 million in cash, suggesting that he's got the money now to post his bond in that civil fraud case in New York. They are appealing, he and his team are appealing the judgment. He's requested a stay on the judgment, and he had been ordered to post his bond by this Monday. Well, I think the appeals court will eventually turn this thing completely around. But he says, through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash.
And there was an unexpected donation, too, that came in early this morning.
Was that right?
Yeah, the girls from The View all pitched in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. I knew they would. I knew they would come through. They don't want him in jail. They're a very nice bunch of women. So we'll see how far this goes, but the team, Trump, et cetera, blasting Letitia James and the whole judgment as totally unconstitutional. They are appealing it. They want to stay on this, but in the meantime, they had to come up with the cash. Letitia was threatening to start wandering around and grabbing his businesses in and around New York and starting to sell them. So we'll see where all of that goes, but crazy world, crazy. Speaking about judges doing crazy things, a federal judge yesterday tossed a conservative legal group's lawsuit against a Washington, D.C. law that now allows non-citizens, and this includes illegal immigrants and foreign embassy people, to vote in their municipal elections. In a 12-page opinion, Judge Amy Berman Jackson said that the plaintiffs, which were a group of U.S. citizen voters represented by the what's called Immigration Reform Law Institute, she said they lacked the standing to challenge the law because they could not show how they were harmed if non-citizens voted. Well, come on. You mean anybody can walk in off the street? Apparently so. If you've lived in Washington for 30 days, it doesn't make any difference whether you are a citizen of the country or not. The judge said, well, the complaint does not include facts showing plaintiffs' right to vote has been denied, that they have been subjected to discrimination or inequitable treatment or denied opportunities when compared to others, or that their rights as citizens have been subordinated merely because of their father's country of origin. So, boy, oh boy, would you want to live somewhere where anybody could walk in after 30 days and vote? Even if they were from another country and they weren't even a citizen of this country? What is going on with the logic in all of this? I mean, you start to really believe that there are people here that want to undermine what our country stands for. And it's just getting kind of scary, I think. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. We are going to talk to him about what's called the tailpipe rule, the EPA's tailpipe rule, a law that he says would restrict buying any kind of gas-powered vehicle.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back, it's Friday. It's a blustery day here in Tampa. It's been raining overnight. I don't mind it, but it's a little wild, I'll say that right now. This is the first full day of spring, by the way. Here is something rather interesting. In an unusual dose of common sense, the state of Maine has rejected a proposed electric vehicle mandate, ignoring the climate concerns voiced by eco groups and Democrats. The Board of Environmental Protection in the state turned down what's called the Advanced Clean Care Program after getting overwhelming opposition from stakeholders and citizens. Now, listen to this. The program would have closely mirrored what's going on in California and approved there. It would mandate that at least 51% of new car purchases in Maine be electric by 2028. That's only 4 years from now. 51%. And 82% be electric by 2032. Wow. Well, good for them. A little dose of common sense in the state of Maine. Speaking about crazy rules on energy and environment, we are delighted to have Darren Bast, who is the Competitive Enterprise Institute's director on that very topic, energy and environment. And we're going to talk with him about what is called the EPA tailpipe rule, which he says would restrict Americans in their attempt to buy gas-powered vehicles. Darren, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure having you. So tell us, what is going on with the Biden administration or anybody that wants to get behind this push to get gas-powered vehicles off the road as quickly as possible? I mean, tell us a little bit about this so-called tailpipe rule.
Yeah, the Biden administration, the EPA, finalized a rule that would basically make it very difficult for Americans to drive gas-powered vehicles in the future. They would expect that most vehicles will be EVs by 2032 and not gas-powered cars. So it's happening. Right now, it's absolutely happening. They're trying to get people out of the cars that we know and we drive and that are affordable and reliable and try to get people into EVs or quite honestly not to drive at all, which is a very likely scenario for many people who can't afford EVs.
I mean, this is really scary. And I see on their website, if that's what it's called, for the Environmental Protection Agency, it says here, the Biden-Harris administration finalizes the strongest ever pollution standards for cars that position U.S. companies and workers to lead the clean vehicle future, protect public health, address the climate crisis. Oh, and also, Darren, it'll save drivers money. Did you know that? With the car batteries that end up, what do you do with these old batteries after you're through with them? So we end up, we create more problems when it comes to pollution, do we not? If we really examine, at least at this stage in the game, forcing electric vehicles down people's throats.
Yeah, I mean, if I take a step back, I think the number one issue here is about freedom. You're reading from the EPA website. Their plan is that the government use this as a mandate to try to get people to do something. It's not giving people more choice, it's restricting choice. If we want to have companies develop these vehicles on their own without proper government intervention, which we still do have too much government intervention on it, then they will if there's consumer demand. But this is a mandate. At least a de facto mandate, and it's an effort to create standards which they know will necessarily require that auto manufacturers build EVs and not build the gas-powered vehicles. That's the whole point of it. And you're right. It's, first of all, you got all these costs involved. And then the question is, are there any benefits? And there's a lot of, there's a significant question regarding whether or not the benefits that they're claiming for the environment even exist. You brought up the batteries. That's certainly one issue. But also, they would claim that they're concerned about greenhouse gas emissions. But the production of these vehicles actually create more greenhouse gas emissions than the production of gas-powered vehicles. So it actually takes at least some years to overcome the greenhouse gas emissions from the EVs. So it may not even help in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. So it's really, you know, questionable as to, it's really all costs and really any questionable as regards to the benefit of any kind. But it's certainly a cost in terms of our freedom.
You know, another thing, I would think that these automakers and the unions, you know, the employees that make the cars, would be kind of up in arms. You know, normally, unions like the United Auto Workers tend to be sympathetic to the Democratic Party. But I don't think that's the case anymore, do you?
Well, there's a little bit of pushback by the manufacturers and the unions on this. And the EPA slowed down the initial compliance to this rule, but didn't change the bottom line, which by 2032, we were going to be having a majority of cars, the EV standards, as the EPA stresses, are ultimately they're the same. But so they didn't necessarily address any of their concerns. But the manufacturers, unfortunately, are getting all kinds of subsidies and incentives to shift in this direction. That's what's happening. The Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, is not just about massive spending. The spending is designed to radically change the way that we use electricity in this country, and that includes what kind of cars we drive. And that's why it's so important that Congress repeal the IRA. And if there's a new administration, hopefully that'll be possible.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Darren Bast, the director of the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center on Energy and Environment, about the new EPA tailpipe rule. Now, when is this tailpipe rule supposedly to go into effect?
Yeah, so the effective date, it has to get published in what's called a Federal Register, and then I think the effective date, I don't know exactly, but it'll probably be 30 to 60 days, is my guess. So it's going to be happening right away. So and it's not something down the line. It's just happening immediately.
And so now Congress, can they step in and say, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second, you're not going to do this, we're going to restrict this new law, you know, this is not something that you can just come out with? I mean, if you think about it, you know, having some bureaucratic executive department agency just mandate this all of a sudden, I mean, what's the linchpin with the legislation or the Congress on this?
Yeah, so Congress has, there's some legislators that introduced some bills to address it. The next step will be something called a Congressional Review Act resolution of disapproval. That's a resolution that it expedites the process to use what's called the Congressional Review Act, and it's the way for Congress to reject a particular rule. There's a decent chance it could pass, it will pass the House, and there's even a good chance to pass the Senate. The problem, of course, is that the president will veto that. So that's not going to be a viable option, but it is still worth doing, and it's important to do. The best chance is going to be probably be the if there's a change in administration. And the other avenue, of course, is litigation. And I think there's a very good chance that this rule doesn't hold up in court. We'll see. We don't want it to. One of the problems is if it takes too long in court, and the courts don't block its implementation as it's kind of going through the court process, then the agency gets what it wants because the manufacturers will comply in the meantime and change their business practices and the fleet that they develop. And it may be too late. So even if it gets struck down too far down the line, the agency may get what it wants. So it's really important that the courts block its implementation as it does take litigation.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Lots of people will not want to buy electric vehicles, which means they will hold on to the gas-powered vehicles longer than normal.
Right.
So we will end up having more gas-powered vehicles that as they get older might indeed not be quite as good with, as far as pollution-free. You know, they start getting a little older, their things get a little bit rockier with them. And then you got the auto workers who are going to be put out of business because nobody's buying the electric vehicles.
Yeah, that's a great point. And on the demand side for EVs, where there was a bump up because of an increase in demand for EVs, but that has been short-lived. Because, I mean, the fact is there's all kinds of incentives to get people to buy EVs, and they're still not doing it.
No.
What's happened recently is that there's been a huge slowdown in the demand. And the auto dealers, which we haven't talked about, are very concerned about what's going on. And they're talking about how these EVs are languishing on the lot. People aren't buying them. And my understanding is that certain manufacturers are dropping the prices of the EVs. So the people that bought EVs earlier are not very happy because now the value of the car that they bought has actually come way down. It's going to hurt them on resale. So, I'm not against EVs. I think I want people to have the freedom to be able to buy EVs. I just don't want the government mandating that people buy gas-powered vehicles, or mandate that people buy EVs. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I mean, this is referred to as the EV mandate by many, but I think the key way to think of this is that this is a way to make it very difficult and ultimately impossible for people to buy gas-powered vehicles. And if you use an EV, fine. Or if you don't use anything, that's fine for a lot of these people because they just don't want you driving gas-powered vehicles because they're anti-fossil fuels and just don't want there to be any use of fossil fuels at all.
Indeed. Will you take a question from my colleague, Ed Davis?
Absolutely.
Hey, Darren, it's just... I can't wrap my head around this thing because every time I think about it, and when you bring up fossil fuels... If you've ever seen a tow truck come out to an electric vehicle on the side of the road that is dead and with no power, do you know how they charge it up? With a gas-powered generator.
That's right.
When you charge it up at the charging station, where is that charger hooked up to? Fossil fuels that power the electricity that gets put into your car. For crying out loud, Governor Newsom had the gall last year to say, don't charge your vehicles between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. because our electrical grid can't handle it. Why not get the grids up to par? You know what? Until we start building nuclear power plants, we don't have the grid.
Well, that's great. A lot of great points in there. The reality is, if we didn't sabotage ourselves, we would actually have a very good electricity grid. And I think we do, but we're continuously sabotaging ourselves by federal mandates and even states, well, definitely states, trying to shift to unreliable sources of electricity, like wind and solar, and moving away from reliable sources of electricity, like nuclear, coal, natural gas. And so at the same time that we're putting pressure on the grid by having less reliable electricity on the grid, the Biden administration is going to put more pressure on the grid by increasing demand for the electricity that's less reliable on the grid, such as through EVs. So you got this double whammy going on.
You got it, Darren. And there's another thing. I'm thinking about all this as we're trying to describe what's going to happen.
It's laughable.
It's laughable, but... the federal government has lost its way. It has no business being involved in telling people what to buy and what not to buy. That's not their job. It never has been their job. It was never supposed to be their job. The federal government was supposed to be the last resort of things like this. State and local governments, quite frankly, if you follow the Constitution, would have that right before the federal government. And so I say the federal government has lost its way, forcing these kinds of things. It should never interfere with this kind of a thing. If they want to leave it up to the states and the states themselves say, look, we're going to have an electric vehicle mandate, that's one thing. I think that's much more arguable or whatever than having the federal government just have wave its magic wand and tell everybody, okay, by a certain date, you can't have gas-powered leaf blowers, gas-powered stoves, gas-powered heating, gas-powered, you know, this is not their, and maybe ultimately we'll finally wake up. But in the meantime, I just think this is so absolutely crazy.
Well, I agree with you, and I would just add, I think it's even worse than that. It's not Congress that's really doing this. It's not Congress at all that's doing this in terms of the mandate. It's unelected bureaucrats that are doing it
right.
That don't have authorization from Congress in the first place. That's what makes it even worse.
That's right. Exactly.
So I hope people definitely wake up to the fact that we need to restore representative government, which means that Congress needs to make the decisions and not unelected bureaucrats. And that's something that's certainly, I think, a huge issue.
It's got to take back its power. Yeah, it's been slowly, maybe not even slowly, leaking its power to the executive branch.
Oh, yeah.
It's ongoing.
Yeah. It's a huge issue. And I think if we could address it, it would solve a lot of problems.
Exactly. Darren Bass, thank you so very much for coming on. Keep up the good fight at CEI, and I would look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Darren Bass of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
You know, one more thing, too, that Americans are going to have to slow down, because no longer can you pull up to a pump, gas up, and take off. Now you need to pull up to a charging station, put the turkey in the oven, and wait. And wait.
Yes.
And knit a sweater. And a couple of hours later, get back on your horse. Imagine if you got to travel a mile, or no, let's say 10 miles, and your EV's not charged up all the way, and you need to quickly get a charge. I'll be there in about 3 hours. It's 10 miles down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I charge up for a couple hours.
Yeah, no, we absolutely are not prepared for any of this right now. If we let the free market handle it, you know, we would get there.
If you
eventually
want an EV, get it.
There you go. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we mentioned this before, Truth Social, you know, Donald Trump's website, it may end up helping make him a lot of money. We're going to tell you all about it. I see the bad moon
rising. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. So I don't know if you saw watching the news yesterday, but if you were, you may have noticed that a large group of illegals burst through razor wire down at the border in El Paso, Texas yesterday. It was really chaotic. They burst through the razor wire and they went running up to this fence where these border guards were standing. The video showed dozens of adult males ripping away the razor wire that was set up by the state and then charging past the Texas National Guardsmen. They then ran toward a section of border wall where they were blocked from entering any further. They estimated about 300, most all of them were men, by the way, 300 illegal immigrants and about 100 adult males then rushed the soldiers. They started arresting them. At least down there, they're stopping them.
Well, you have to understand that group of 300 that rushed in were just 300 illegals that wanted to come to this country and find work and do the work that Americans won't do.
There you go. They just want to take the jobs that Americans won't take. That's the thing. That's why Democrats want as many of them here as possible.
How long before,
fill up all the jobs.
How long before one of our guys gets hurt or killed trying to protect
them? Of course.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, too.
And God forbid they shoot off, you know, fire a couple of rounds in the air.
You know,
the President of the United States will probably charge them with something.
I must say, when I was watching these idiots, I'm going to call them, you know, pushing their way through and then... If I was a border guard and I had a rifle, I would be very tempted to take a couple of pot shots at them.
Yeah.
Just the way I would feel.
You don't know if they're armed.
You don't know if they're armed. But, I mean, the way that they break through like that and come running towards you. Anyway, delighted to have both of the Ceraces with us. Our eye in the northern sky is Angelo Ceraci from Rochester, New York, and his younger brother, Andrew, who is our master barber down here in Dunedin, Florida. Guys, welcome. I want to talk to you about some news you may not know about. Former President Trump is going to find out today if his social media platform, you know, Truth Social, will be green-lighted to be traded on NASDAQ. Now, if it is, it could make him all kinds of money. But the vote takes place on whether his media company, it's called Trump Media and Technology Group, which operates Truth Social, can merge with a company called Digital World Acquisition Corporation, which is a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? Angelo?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I heard something about that. Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting. In the meantime, it looks like Trump announced he's rounded up enough money to post his bond. did you hear about that one?
I heard about that, and I got a suspicion. I think Elon Musk put up the money.
I'm thinking that he did get a benefactor, yes. And Ed thinks the same thing. Although Ed said he thinks it's the ladies on The View that put up the bond.
There you go.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't think they got enough money if you put them all together.
All right, guys. So what's going on? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I heard about your electric vehicles this morning, right?
Yes.
Now, what is the military going to do? I mean, if you go into the battlefield, you have no charging stations. What are the armored personnel carriers going to do?
Yeah, that would be rather embarrassing. We take our electric vehicle tanks overseas.
Right.
Looking for, you know, they'd be rolling down the street looking for a charging station.
Better yet, I'll get an electric vehicle when the president and his motorcade is all electric.
Don't hold your breath
on that one. Try to power those things with electric. You know how much those limousines weigh? Like 5 times the normal rate of a car. Try to power that with electric vehicle. And to add the batteries on top of that, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? These people, they hate the fossil fuels. How are we ever going to fight a war? Whenever there's war, if there's ever going to be world peace all over, which, since mankind inhabits this earth, that'll never happen.
I tell you, we're so busy screwing ourselves, some other country just needs to wander in. In fact, they are doing that, are they not, at the southern border? Just wander in and take us over.
That's the whole gist of the idea is.
What do you think, Andrew? What do you think?
It's amazing, man. I saw the same videos you did at the border yesterday, and I think it's, you know, the guards can't do nothing, but I can guarantee if they fired a couple of shots in the air, it would stop them right in their path.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was thinking, too. You know, the nerve of these people to come blowing by the National Guard as if, get out of my way. I have every right to cross over into your country.
Well, Biden Department of Justice would put murder charges against the National Guard that shot him.
That's
right.
Of course they would.
Attempted murder. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Remember the horse whipping incident?
Yes. That's right.
It's amazing.
Biden administration, right? you got Texas trying to hold these people back, and you got the Biden administration suing the state of Texas.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of that, I'm glad you brought it up, Angelo. Did you know that Iowa is going to do the same thing that Texas is doing, or at least going to try? Iowa is moving toward and moving forward with an immigration bill similar to that in Texas, allowing local police to arrest illegals who had previously been deported that are wandering around Iowa. It would make it a crime for an illegal to enter or re-enter the same re-enter Iowa, the state, if they've been deported or denied admission to the U.S. The governor, Kim Reynolds, by the way, she's a Trump fan, she said if the legislature passes it, she will sign the bill, and it will take effect in July. So maybe there'll be other states as well that will follow suit and say, look, if the federal government's not going to take care of taking these people, holding them or kicking them out, we'll do it.
And how about these states that that are screwing around with our Second Amendment rights, right? And you had a federal judge saying that illegals can have firearms.
That's right. In in Illinois, I believe, is where the one wacky judge said that.
Well, look at what our governor, thank God, is doing down here in Florida with some of the people coming over from Haiti in all these boats. He's sending our Coast Guard out and turning them back to Haiti. Boat's got a hole in it. Here's some glue.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should send them up to Martha's Vineyard again. I think you should round them up and send them all up to Martha's Vineyard and send them to Nancy Pelosi's house. That's what they need to do again.
There you go. Yeah.
It can't be locals' house, right? The governor's mansion. There you go.
Yeah, it's crazy, is it not?
The Queen, Kathy Hochul. Send them out to her way.
Yeah, is she the one that said or was that the mayor? Was that Mayor Adams?
I think it was the mayor.
And my response would have been, you first.
Yes. Speaking about all of that, let's go to Chicago for a moment. Democratic Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson appearing to blame Trump in his reaction to a failed referendum that they supported in Chicago. Listen to this. On Tuesday, the residents of Chicago struck down the so-called Bring Chicago Home referendum that promised $100 million in new tax revenue to combat the homeless crisis in the city if they would just allow everybody to hike their taxes on real estate. Well, the voters said no. They rejected it by over a 7-point margin. So during his press conference, the mayor said, the 38,000 Chicago residents who had voted for Trump made the difference in the voting for this referendum. He said, it's also not lost on me. I think there were 38,000 Republicans that showed up and voted for Donald Trump or something like that in Chicago. If we're trying to draw some conclusions and you all want some, analytics, you might want to discover that might be something to look into, because I'll just say there's a good chance that that played a part in its referendum. So he's going to blame Donald Trump voters for the city's voters voting this time. That's complete nonsense.
They just didn't want to spend the money.
They don't want to. In fact, I would find it hard to find 38,000 Trump supporters in Chicago, you know. They're all Democrats anyway.
Well, they had that Democratic machine with Mayor Daley, remember, back in the 60s?
Of course. But they're finally getting some common sense in some of these cities and saying, you know, we've had enough of this nonsense.
Yeah,
we're sick of the illegals that are coming into our city, sick of paying higher prices. We're not getting anything from it. We're just scaring out all of the businesses that would normally stay here, you know?
Well, it's just like Kathy Hochul here in New York State, the signed into law about the mail-in ballots in 2021, it was voted down, right? It was put on the ballot box, should mail-in ballots be used, et cetera, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was voted down. Well, what does she do? Goes in through the back door, gets the Assembly and the Senate there, which are all Democrats. Pass a law.
So they ignore the vote?
Against what the people voted for.
Yeah, they ignored the referendum vote on the ballots,
right,
on mail-ins. Unbelievable that they would do that. You would think that the people would be looking to, recall her?
Well, there's no recall.
Oh, you can't do that.
We don't have, can't
no,
do that.
No wonder she's...
But, you know, they could march on Albany and say, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You know, and you know, if the people who start getting smart, I mean, they're becoming so complacent to what's happening.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. Hey, on another topic, and unfortunately, we got technical difficulties the other day when we were talking about it, but Andrew invited me to a place called Conservative Grounds. It's a great coffee shop. It's in, I guess it's, is that technically Clearwater down there?
It's Largo, I think.
It's Largo. Okay. And it's a great place to go. We want to recommend it to anybody that is a big-time conservative and is a Trump supporter. It's located on Almerton and 66th Street North, right there on the, I believe, the southwest corner. It's in a little strip mall there, so you got to look for it. But once you get in there, you're going to really enjoy it. It's even got an Oval Office setting in there, does it not, Andrew?
Yes, it does. It's identical to the one in the White House.
It is. We enjoyed a cup of coffee, he and I, on Sunday of last week, and met some wonderful people that we were talking with. It's really a great place to go and meet new people, especially if you share the conservative values.
Well, you got to realize if you're a liberal and you walk in there, you're entering at your own risk. You have to sign a release form.
There you go. That's true. You know, but if you are a conservative and you happen to like Donald Trump, I think you're going to find yourself in good company. So we wanted to promote that. It's a place that I'm looking forward to going back to again, and we invite others to go to it. Again, it's called Conservative Grounds. You get a great cup of coffee there, too. And they got donuts and the whole bit, right?
I was telling Ed that he needs to come with us, and Ed says, "Oh, do they have beer, wine, and vodka?" I said, "Ed, it's a coffee shop."
It's a coffee shop. That's
right. I didn't say vodka. I just had they. I asked if they had alcohol there. That's all.
Coffee Royale.
There you go. You just pour your own. Bring your own in. I don't think that they would be too upset about that. I don't know. I better not.
Cried out loud. Do you ever smell Paul's coffee in the morning?
Yeah.
There's a reason. There's a reason his color does his cup doesn't have any color to it anymore.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, but we definitely have to bring Ed there because I think that'd be a good time with him.
Oh, he'd love it.
Yeah, no question. No, you also got to mention my barbershop is kind of like that place.
It is. I was going to say, if you go in to get a haircut, if you happen to be anything other than real, real conservative and pro-Trump, you might want to keep your politics to yourself. Just sit in the chair, let Andrew talk as much as he wants. You'll get a great haircut, so it's well worth it.
Only if you're a conservative. I can't promise the haircuts on the.
Well, that's why I say that. You don't announce that you're not. Is what I'm trying to.
There you go. But I can't wait to see the reactions Monday. You know when Trump posts this money for his bond on Judge Rogan there.
Because Letitia, she probably had a hairdresser appointment for Sunday to get all gooped up and ready to march on over there with the chains and put the chains on the door and take a nice little photo op.
Well, Letitia James, one of the most racist attorney generals that there is in the state of in the United States.
If the voters had any common sense, the judge and Letitia James would be voted the hell out as quickly as possible.
They should vote them out, just demand them that they resign.
Yeah.
I mean, she is one racist individual. And you notice all these people going after Donald Trump are black Americans. Right?
You know,
Letitia James, Fannie Willis there, whatever her name is, and Alvin Bragg here in New York State, New York City.
Paul, what I think about that, which I really don't understand, is I feel myself that the blacks should be going after these people themselves because, you finally got blacks in prominent positions. They worked to get there, and they finally got prominent positions. And what are they doing? They're giving the blacks a bad name by doing what they're doing. You think that the blacks would go after them and control this themselves?
I mean, why would you want to keep voting for Democrats in major cities when generation after generation after generation of minority people are kept almost kind of corralled, quite frankly, in these cities, and they have not been. The great thing about freedom and the concept of of individual freedom and pushing for people to attain the best that they can be, is that you break out of that mold. And, you know, you become something better. And you look at conservative blacks and how well they do. You know, when they break away from the, whatever you want to call it, they break away from the plantation, if I can use the term, the Democratic plantation. They're happier. They're more productive. Doesn't anybody see that?
Because
I wouldn't put it past Letitia James and Fannie Willister being part of Black Lives Matter, BLM, right? And BLM is an avowed communist organization.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted it. And look what they're trying to do to our country.
Of course, of course. Now, of course, they don't follow the rules. They make, you know, they get paid all kinds of money. They live in great places. They don't live down in the ghetto. They don't live anywhere near like that.
Those women that were founders of Black Lives Matter, they're avowed communists. They admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Yep. And we allow it to continue in our country. And Letitia James, she's got to be Black Lives Matter. She's got to be one of the members, card-carrying member.
Could well be.
Same thing with Fannie Wallace.
Hey, guys, always a pleasure. Wish we had more time. Thank you so very much. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
Have a good weekend.
All right, guys, thanks. There they go, the Sorace brothers. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 happiest U.S. cities.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, Big Ed makes sure you can listen anytime you'd like. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's put all our shows on podcast. Most recent show at the top. You can see who the guest is, the topic with the guest, and our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, before we get into our top 10, is there anything in the world of sports that we should be looking at?
Yeah, the good news is the Lightning won their fifth in a row last night.
Oh, they did. Five in a row.
The number one seed as far as the wild card goes.
Oh.
Keep this pace, and they should be good. And once you get in, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear
that.
On
the other side, with a week left before opening day in Major League Baseball, the Rays... injuries are mounting.
Oh.
The guy that had the best spring training so far with the bat, something crazy, like 13 out of 26 or something like that, on a regular fly ball, broke his finger and is out for a month and a half.
Oh, no. What's his name?
I forget his name.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good news. But in a week, A week from today is the opening day?
No, the weekend, yeah.
On the weekend. Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, time for our top 10. Ed, over to the drums, if you please. These are the top 10 happiest U.S. cities. Wallet Hub's new report examine every city based on 29 key indicators for happiness, from depression and income to average leisure time spent each day to determine what were the happiest places to live. So here we go, number 10. Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
They were number 4, by the way, on the community and environment rank. All right, number 9. Columbia, Maryland is number 9. When it came to emotional and physical well-being, they were ranked 5th of all the cities. Number 8. On to Hawaii. Pearl City, Hawaii. It must be, I wonder if it's near Pearl Harbor. Anyway, it's 2nd in community and environment rank. Number 7. Despite all the homeless people out there, San Francisco is rated number 7. It's supposedly 3rd for emotional and physical well-being. All right. Number 6. Hey, back to the island of Hawaii. Honolulu is number 6. Mm. And they were number 1 when it came to the community and environment rank. All right. Number 5. Irvine, California. Irvine, California. They are ranked, their highest ranking on any of the things was number 4 for emotional and physical well-being. Number 4. Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, University of Wisconsin's headquartered there. And they were ranked number 7 for emotional and physical well-being and number 9 for the community environment rank. All right. Number 3. San Jose, California. And it was ranked 2nd for emotional and physical well-being. All righty. Number 2. Hey, back to the Midwest, or the Great Plains states, really. Overland Park, Kansas. Overland Park, Kansas. It's ranked 6th in 2 categories, emotional and physical well-being and the community and environment. All right. So, Ed, you'll never guess what the place is, but let me just ask you if you think you can guess the state.
State?
That's a little easier.
Washington.
It's not far away from Washington.
Oregon?
Keep going south.
California?
That's right. The number 1 city is Fremont, California. I'm not even sure exactly where that is located.
Nah,
but they were number 1 in emotional and physical well-being. I wonder what's going on. Maybe it's something in the water there. And number 3 when it came to the community and environment rank. So
amazing Florida didn't get in there anywhere.
I know. You know what we're going to do is I'm going to this weekend find the 10 unhappiest cities. I hope Florida doesn't have any, but it might be that they do. So Turnabout Being Fair Play, we can do something like that. So in the meantime, everybody be safe out there. Drive safely. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Please remember, no matter what, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. There's breaking news from Tennessee. Nashville police say they found a body that's confirmed to be a missing college student.
The fire department was called in, retrieved the body from the river. The medical examiner's office reviewed the body and we've confirmed that it is Riley Strain.
Police chief says there's no sign of foul play or trauma observed. The 22-year-old Strain was last seen leaving a bar 2 weeks ago. China and Russia vetoed a U.S.-sponsored UN resolution calling for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in Gaza, not swayed by the urgings of American Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Every day without a deal means more needless suffering. This resolution will move us closer to securing that deal and help us alleviate that suffering.
Well, Secretary of State Blinken is in Israel today. CBS's Chris Livesay has the latest on the war in Gaza.
Gaza's largest hospital, once again,